And other issues, so let's start the airport committee meeting here on September 4th. It's about 8 minutes to 3. The first item on the agenda is the roll call, and I'll start at, my name is Jeff Bertolite. Let's start with Mark, maybe.
Sure. Mark Watkins from Newport.
Susan Painter from Newport.
Ralph Busby.
Lance Vanderbeck.
And Dietmar Goble on Zoom.
All right, that's all of the people that I see. And with that, we'll ask for the approval of the minutes from the last meeting.
I move their approval.
Whoops. Second.
Okay, we have a move to approve and a second on that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And vote. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Okay, next item is discussion item. So the first one is the November radio show. Must be you.
Thank you. Yes, so I signed up to do the November radio show over the holiday of the 24th. I do have the opportunity to pre-record that program. It takes about 30 minutes, and it can be done at any time. So I wanted to offer to one of the airport committee members, if you want to schedule a time to be on the radio, and then it'll be played basically over the Thanksgiving holiday. We can talk about some items, or if you guys have particular items that you want me to touch on, we can do that. But that's what the radio show is about.
I was just, anybody want to volunteer for that offhand? I think I'd like to give a few comments to it. If I'm not sure if it'll be around, I mean, I could help you with it recording. But I'm also on the 2040 Advisory Committee as the airport liaison, and they're going through some changes, but trying to reduce the quorum so that there is a quorum most of the time. I've been told that I was the person in most attendance at all the meetings, which I was surprised at. But it's good that I'm there once in a while to bring up the indications of the airport. Did someone have a question? Didn't hear it. So I think that would be important to mention that the airport is represented by the 2040 Visioning Committee, and that's an ongoing measure. And then they are developing a really large intuitive website that will allow a person to go on and see where the goals are, and they can click on a goal through pretty much any of the visioning processes and then go see where we are in the process. And it's pretty amazing how the IT department here did a nice presentation. It's not quite up and running yet, but it will be up there. It'll list where we are with our goals, or any of the goals in the 2040, whether it started, progress, and it's finished. So that should help. And then we might mention that the city council was concerned mostly because of maybe the lack of information on how important the airport is, with indicating they were concerned if we bring more airplanes in, we might burn gas and cause environmental damage. I'm hoping that could be corrected, stating that the consequence of any development will have environmental issues, but not so detrimental that it couldn't be overcome. So those are just, we'd want to always present a positive influence and then reiterate how important it is for our airport to be indicated as the surviving airport and for any disaster. And also, now with that, we do have new leased land out there available, that'd be another really selling point that people can come and look at doing something out there that would be maybe transportation related, or you know, something that would assist any type of business we might have, and you know, having different airplanes come in, and or just what would it be, I guess, transferring of data and not just fuel, but I'm trying to think of the commerce is the word I'm thinking of. And let's also, we have actually probably more than any other committee. I mean, we have the potentially the animal shelter coming in there, a couple more hangars being built. So this as and then we do have the water issue in theory solved. So we're not developmentally limited except for maybe sewer, but that isn't an overriding limitation. So any other comments? I mean, Lance is looking for things, but we can get to you any time, I suppose, but that might get you started on the radio show information.
Yes, that absolutely would be a good start. Anybody would like to join, though, to be a guest, I guess? Or it can be done anytime between now and the end of November. And it's 30 minutes after 10 o'clock in the morning, and we go down to the radio station, talk with Mr. Miller, and he'll get us set up in a booth. But I figured it would be a good time to have a member of the airport committee on, and we can lay out kind of a nice program, a little 30-minute program to discuss it, and it would be pre-recorded and then played back over November or the holiday season.
Susan, would you want to do that or be willing to? I think it'd be nice to have another other than a male voice. So, you know, it'd be a little different viewpoint, too, and people can relate to more items, you know, that related to airport, because it isn't just a bunch of guys out there flying airplanes. It's a lot of other things.
But it would be you and me. I'll send you an email, and then we'll find out what day is going to work best for you, and then I'll schedule it with Mr. Miller, and then we'll just meet down over there. So yeah, so it'll. But we can go over the items that you want to talk about or discussion items that we brought up here, so that we have a little bit of a program, I guess. So,
Lance, it might be kind of weird or inappropriate on some level, but Susan brought up the point that one of the frustrating issues that our airport faces is confusion on the public front. Why do we have an airport? Why is it costing the city so much? What is the real reason for this now that we don't have, charter service to Portland? So, the public perception has always been kind of weird, and I don't want to say wrong. It's just been lacking. And I was wondering if it would be possible during this time to have maybe a question and answer, or maybe somebody's listening that's very concerned about the airport or wants to be involved in the airport, or maybe, I don't know, wants to be, maybe invest in the airport or has serious questions about it. I was wondering if there could be like a question and answer, or if you have comments about an airport or concerns about the airport or hurrahs about our airport, let us know or contact Dave Miller or Lance. Might be an opportunity to get some public information.
No, I understand that's a valid point. This would be pre-recorded, but we can sign up for another slot to do a Q&A if they're all not taken at this point. So, I mean, being it pre-recorded, I guess it'd be a little bit hard to have people call in with question and answer. So, but that definitely is a good point, and that is something that we probably could, get done. So, with another radio time slot where you're live.
All right, sounds good. Let's move on to 4B then, the gas and fuel. I guess there's a staff report on that.
There is a staff report. So the staff report on the Avgas fuel at the airport. The background information on this is that May 21st, Newport Municipal experienced an uptick in general aviation traffic and fuel sales. Avgas sales from May to June 2021 reached 12,418 gallons sold. During the same time for 2020, Avgas sales only hit 8,000, resulting in a 4,129 gallon increase from the previous year. During April 13th, 2021, airport committee meeting discussion was had about the April shortage. On Sunday, April 4th, 2021, pilots purchased the remaining Avgas from the self-serve tank. Airport staff followed FAA regulations, issued a notam for pilots. Fuel was ordered on Monday morning, April 5th. Fuel delivery of 5,500 gallons of Avgas arrived Wednesday, April 7th, 2021. During the April 13th, 2021 airport committee meeting, the report was read into the record describing the chain of events leading up to the 3 days of Avgas shortage at the Newport Municipal Airport. Discussion ensued with the committee and a standard for purchasing of fuel was agreed upon, ordering when the self-serve tank level was at 2,500 gallons left. On August 31st, 2021, the AV tank was reading above the 2,500 gallon mark and staff placed a fuel order with World Fuel. Staff was notified on Wednesday, September 1st, 2021, that the fuel delivery was not available until Wednesday, September 8th, 2021. Late Thursday afternoon, September 2nd, 2021, the remaining Avgas was purchased out of the self-serve tank. Staff followed FAA regulations, issued a notam for pilots. On Wednesday, September 8th, 2021, airport staff had a phone conversation with Mike Bode, Oregon Operations and Sales of Lee and Estates, Inc., Oregon Branch. Mr. Bode was apologetic about the time frame for the delivery, but Mr. Bode relayed to Mr. Vanderbeck that Lee and Estates in Oregon is experiencing a driver shortage, which leaves them currently with only three drivers. Lee and Estates are currently very busy with Jet A loads for firefighting, oil loads, and other fuel deliveries across Oregon. On top of that, they only have one truck for Avgas and one driver that can drive it. Newport's ordered ended up being a split load with Lebanon State, who also sold out of Avgas earlier in the week. Mr. Bode requested on the next order fuel to call him first to get it pre-scheduled, then put the order into World Fuel. This should provide a faster delivery date in the future. Mr. Bode also relayed that we can order any amount, but costs would be dependent on World Fuel charges. Some of the options that I have come up with to try to get a handle on this shortage that we continue to face is pre-order with Mr. Bode when the tank reaches 3,000 gallons left. Mr. Bode will pre-schedule the delivery. Once Mr. Bode confirms the delivery date, then place the order with World Fuel. Option two would be to order half loads when the tank is reading 3,500 gallons left until fuel delivery supply chain is back to next day delivery. And second, maybe add a second self-serve tank, which probably would not be efficient at this moment in time or fiscally responsible. The other option is that we can put 750 gallons in reserve in the AV truck used to fill the self-serve should the fuel load be delayed for extended periods of time. The issue with that is that the AV truck would need some maintenance to be brought back up to ability to run again.
How much maintenance is required for that, Lance?
Well, we currently can't sell out of the AV truck. The hose is out of date. The fuel filters need to be replaced. The meter would need to be recertified by the state.
Lance, hold on. We would not need the meter because all you're doing is you're taking the gas, the fuel from the truck and putting it into our 8,000 gallon tank. We wouldn't need a meter.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying we couldn't sell out of it the way it is. We could pump into the 8,000 gallon tank. That's fine, because it would then go through another filter before it's sold to the public. So it shouldn't take maybe more than, I think probably the batteries are dead in it.
So, and for me, I mean, it sounds like a good option. It was unusual. Well, we have a lot of things happening now, the fires, and I mean, I understand all those issues. Nobody can get a driver. This is fairly uncommon. So the other alternative is to have your truck, is probably the least expensive. I was going to suggest we would maybe get a bigger tank sometime in the future, secondary one. But what do you guys think about the fuel truck as an option?
Well, I think it's a good idea. I mean, they can't fill that from the tank truck, the delivery truck, right? You'd have to pump it out of the 8,000-gallon tank into your truck and then back out of your truck into the 8,000-gallon tank, correct?
Correct.
So it's a little bit of work, but it seems like the best option. And also perhaps ordering a little further in advance, given the circumstance, like you said, at 3,000 or 3,500 instead of 2,500, all those things put together and calling the delivery service, all those things together can make it work. You know, there's been a lot of people comment, it says, this was terrible, all that. Yeah, well, okay, it happened. Nobody wanted it to happen. It's one of those things that happens under the circumstance, and nobody's looking for retribution or anything. We're just looking for a better way to do it. I think we've got some better ways to do it, and we follow them.
Yeah, it looks to me like a good alternative. You have a little reserve there. I mean, if it looks like, let's say, for example, and this is only going to probably only happen during our flying season, which is coming to an end rapidly here, but if you're low, let's say you're down at 23,000 or 2,500 gallons, and or a little before that, maybe, and you anticipate a delay, I'd say pump whatever you have in that extra fuel. So when the truck does come, you have room for a bigger delivery. And again, it's only, we're talking maybe the 4 months out of the year when this is really most pressing.
Well, Lance and I have also had discussions about the condition that our current 8,000-gallon fuel tank is in. And one of my biggest regrets being on this committee is approving that 8,000-gallon tank. I wish we had 12 or 14. However, maybe now's the time, Lance, to say, listen, this tank is not holding up. It's been a couple years. It was an awful mess getting it in and up and running. Let's get rid of this thing and get a 12,000-gallon tank.
Great idea. That, very expensive.
Well, the tank we do.
Go ahead.
Are you talking about the tank we just put in?
I want to encourage you, Dietmar, to go take a look at it and look at the rust that's taken place already.
Didn't we just spend an awful lot of money just putting a new tank in? I mean, and the tank was down and stuff. I'm confused what's going on with the tank now.
It's not so much.
The tank is working fine. We just ran out of fuel. However, if you go look at that tank now, it already looks like it's 10 years old. The rust on it is pitiful. It's awful.
So I don't know what alternative you have. Obviously, you'd want to, if it's even a potential, you'd have to sell the tank you had or trade it in or something. So cost-wise, I don't know what your alternatives would be.
Well, I did get a hold of Scott Milstead with Mascot and sent him pictures of the tank and why. And he's going to contact the manufacturer and find out why it's rusting like that, because it should not be rusting like that. So the conversation has started. I'm just waiting to hear back from him on that, because that was supposed to be the marine grade epoxy on that tank, and it wasn't supposed to rust and show any of those signs that it already is. But yeah, I mean, it's already got, you know, rust drips running down the backside of it and stuff, and it's like, where is that even coming from? It shouldn't be doing that. So, you know, I agree.
Is there a warranty statement in the contract for that about what's covered and what isn't?
There normally is a year warranty, according to Mr. Milstead from the manufacturer. He's not sure if the marine epoxy warranty was any different, which is one of the reasons why he was going to contact the tank manufacturer, because obviously they did not build the tank.
I want to encourage you, Lance, to stay on this topic, because it's not what we were told it was going to be. Its performance as far as, you know, handling this marine grade epoxy is not efficient. So I want to encourage you to maintain boldly this communication with the manufacturer.
Well, we had the contract with Mascot, not the manufacturer, correct? So it's Mascot's problem.
Mascot needs to get right.
And they did a horrible job, and that should be on a record of the installation. So I don't think we should show them any favors here.
Well, that's
In a nutshell, that's what I'm trying to reference to Lance. We should not show them any favors.
No, I'm not. The contract was with Mascot. We were told it's a marine grade epoxy. It's not supposed to be rusting this early, and it's rusting. It's really just, it's kind of, you know, just sickening.
Well, there's not.
But I agree with everything. I do agree with you, Mark, though, that if the tank needs to be replaced, and I don't know who's going to pay for it, but that a bigger tank, if you're running out of gas already, a bigger tank might be what you need, you know. So pay the difference between a replacement tank and a bigger tank. I don't have a problem with that. But if we were, I mean, the council was told this was going to be the cat's meow, and all of a sudden here we have, 2 years later, we have another problem, you know. It's not going to go over well at council level.
No, I wouldn't think so. Go ahead.
Susan, are you talking, Susan? I can't hear you.
I suggest.
Your phone is cutting out, Susan. You can't hear you.
Well, your red light's on anyway, and it should be.
Is it? Am I on? Okay.
Yeah, you're on now. Yeah.
Okay. I was off. I was putting it off. Okay. I suggested that we contact the city attorney to let him know that there are some issues with the deterioration of the tank that's way too early, and that he might take a look at the contracts and determine where the chain of liability is in the event that we're going to have to do something legally about it. It's probably a good idea to have him be proactive.
Mr. Chairman, is that a motion sensitive issue? Because I couldn't agree with Susan Moore.
It could be a motion to make sure that it gets carried through. I think we're asked, well, sometimes it would be, because if we ask for help and through the city attorney, they would probably like to have a motion.
Dietmar, do you think we should make a motion on that? Because I couldn't agree with Susan Moore about getting Alan involved.
Well, you could make a motion. I think I'd be fine. It'd probably be better for David, but I think if you contacted David and asked for a feedback on it, he'd, but if you're anticipating litigation, a motion might be appropriate.
Well, I don't know the word anticipating litigation. I think we'd like to avoid it, but to the extent that there's going to be a problem, I think the earlier we address the legalities of it in whatever method is appropriate, the better. So I would recommend that this committee either contact directly or through the city council, contact David Allen to have him take a look at the contracts and determine the chain of responsibility in light of the deterioration that's happening, which is certainly unanticipated, and make sure that we're covering all the bases we need to do as Lance explores with Mascot what needs to be done next.
Well, would you like to make that in form of a motion then, and we'll approve that, what you just said?
I would move that that occur.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a movement in 2 seconds. That's good. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, it passes. All right, good.
So will Lance be the one making contact with David?
Yeah, I'll send David an email, and I'll CC in Spencer just to kind of let him know, and I'll have all the pictures and the contract and just say, hey, you know, I've reached out to Mascot. This is, you know, starting to rust and show some interesting, I don't think it's the marine grade epoxy, but I'll CC Spencer in on that and just get David a heads up that this potentially could be coming down the pipeline, unless Mascot can get the tank manufacturer to do something about it.
It could be that, I mean, if there are probably people down there at England Marine or Sherwin-Williams or somebody that could come and go, no, that's not marine. And they could probably look at the paint. All right, I don't know if it's chipping yet or not, but they could probably look at it and tell you whether what it is or not.
It definitely isn't chipping, just rusting.
All right, well, there could be portions of the things above the, if it's rusting through, then that's a big issue. If there's rusting on top of it, then there's something else happening.
Jeff, I want to encourage you, next time you're down there by the fuel tank, I mean, get up close and take a look at it. You'd be shocked.
I'll bring my match.
I need to leave here in a few minutes to pick up my granddaughter at school, but I was hoping we'd start a little earlier. So is there anything that important for the council to hear?
let's see, we have rates and all. The only thing that would be important, Dietmar, is from our last minutes, and I don't see it on here unless it's operations report, we were going to find out whether or not a party that was interested in building tea hangers, we were going to be in contact with them and give them 30-day notice or something like that. At least they would be in contact with us to say if they wanted to go forward or not. So we needed some clarification. I actually asked Dave and Alan to look into that, some sort of verbiage. I don't know where he is with that, but if it hasn't happened yet, that would be some sort of a city council thing to follow up on, along with us, along with some other verbiage with whether or not things, we were trying to use some other terminology that leases I don't like spoken for, so that we would have some sort of a procedure to say that this is the timeline that we would like to follow, and you know, some procedure, and I think David's very good at procedure.
He is, yeah. So at the last council meeting, I think we approved, or not the last one, but previous one, we approved a couple leases on there for hangers. As far
correct.
As I know.
Let me jump in here. So the leases that you guys approved were for box hanger structures on the right next to the Coast Guard station, just south of that. What this discussion item is on T hangers, which are individual T hangers. There's gonna be 10 of them. There's a gentleman that is interested in wanting to build those. I did hear back. I did have a meeting with Spencer and David on that, and there hasn't been any movement forward from David about any type of verbiage, but we do, the general consensus of the meeting is that we should have some type of something that the party signed saying that they have 60 days to get a lease in front of the committee for approval.
Yeah, it should, the recommendations would come out of committee, right?
Correct. Actually, we had a recommendation last meeting, and then evidently there was a follow-up meeting with Lance and David Allen and Spencer, so which I'm happy to hear about. They just haven't heard back from David yet. You know, his time is pressed, but hopefully it's on his list.
David's been on vacation, yeah.
That's no excuse. No, it's okay. Okay. Dietmar, I think that would be it, unless somebody else has an item that...
Okay, so you're just about the T-hangers. You want me to... 10 units of T-hangers, you want me to ask about that? Is that's my understanding, right?
It's not, well, it is. It's related to the T-hangers. Basically, it's language for anybody that would like to lease land that we had originally say, okay, we'll give you some time. What is pretty, it was just word of mouth. So we're looking for David to come up with maybe a little piece of paper to indicate how much time we would give them to potentially tie up looking to lease land that's available.
Or you could also word it as a due diligence period. We're looking for a date-sensitive due diligence period, 60 days, 90 days, whatever.
Okay, I'll talk to David about it.
Okay, well, thank you for letting us know before you leave. That'll be good. Anything else that you guys want Dietmar to know? I don't hear anything.
Thank you for showing up, Dietmar. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, guys. Yeah, appreciate you guys. Yeah, take care.
I apologize for being late, but thank you for sticking around, Dietmar. I appreciate it.
No problem. I just, Ariana gets out at 3:20, so I just need to get over there. Take care, bye.
So, Jeff, before we go forward, I want to circle back to the fuel situation and talk about the 750 gallons in the truck. What was decided about that? Are we definitely going to get that truck running and have that tank accessible and ready to go in case this happens again?
Yeah, that's my understanding is we will get the truck back up and running. We will fill it with 750 gallons out of the current tank. We'll do another probably half load to fill the tank. Once it gets down to 3,000 gallons, we'll call in a half load. Should we have an issue with the supplier, then we'll have that 750 to put back into the tank. Excuse me. But I'm hoping to get the tank full completely with having that 750 in reserve. And then basically it'll be up to airport staff to make sure that we're getting that fuel rotated out of the truck on a consistent basis so we still meet those, that, what is it, 6-month regulation right now to for the avgas. So, because you can't, do we just need to make sure that we're rotating that in and out of the truck, which we can do.
Do you have any high-speed way to pump that fuel, or do you have to use a standard hose that you're using to fill aircraft with?
So we have to use the standard hose. The avgas tank itself doesn't have an intake pump on it, just the out tank pump. I'm not 100% sure that the pump on the tank will open up the valve for the, because it's a 2-inch hose going into a 3-inch valve or 4-inch valve. So we may have to use the upper port to fill, which would be fine. But there is a way we've figured out how to accommodate that.
That's great, Lance. Also, I don't know if your fuel policy is an actual document that you have down at the FBO, but I think all of these should be implemented into your actual fuel policy.
I'm pretty sure I have a fuel policy in regards to the rates, but I can just tack this into, you know, just add on to it as a living document and continue.
I think it'd be a good idea. I mean, some you might be on vacation or somebody might come, not be here and not know. So that's a lot of work to be putting in without just your knowledge and not being on papers. Be helpful.
Yeah, please. That's a great idea, Lance.
Okay. What we had here, I guess, is the next item is the Oregon Department of Aviation statewide rates and charges survey.
Yes, yeah, so I don't remember what meeting it was at that we had with the airport committee, but we did discuss it would be interesting to find out kind of where we're sitting statewide compared with other airports. The state had already gone after pursuing this endeavor, so they did finally finish wrapping that up. But for those of you listening at home, the purpose of the state or of this survey was to collect rates and charges for all of Oregon public use airports where information was made available. Compiled into a comprehensive document, the Oregon Department of Aviation, ODA, provides this resource to assist airport sponsors and operators with benchmarking, developing, and updating rates and charges for airports throughout Oregon. Now, there is no single approach for the airport rate setting. Each airport sponsor, of course, has the flexibility in, you know, setting their own fees and whatnot for their area. Currently, the Newport Municipal Airport is listed as a Category 2 Urban General Aviation Airport. That is defined as support all general aviation aircraft and accommodate corporate aviation activity, including piston and turbine engine aircraft, business jets, helicopters, gliders, and other GA activity. The most demanding use requirements are business related. These airports serve a large multi-state geographical region or experience high levels of GA activity and have the minimum runway length objective is 5,000 feet. So I did list, I have a list of the other airports that we are considered Category 2 with, along with a rate sheet, kind of a breakdown, which I currently don't have in front of me. Sorry, I apologize. I found it. So on the second page, you'll see a Kelly Green with white graph, an upper and a bottom. The top one was taken directly from the executive summary, just for the fuel flow, how the state compares for all of the airports that were looked at. The bottom one is a comparison between Newport, and we are one of 11 airports that fall into the Category 2 Urban General Aviation. The other airports that fall into that are Astoria, Aurora, Bend Municipal, Corvallis, McMinnville, Portland Downtown Hilo Port, Portland Hillsboro, Portland Troutdale, Salem, and Scappoose. Round out the list for the Category 2. Below is a table of the rates. I took all of the rates for each of these categories from each of the airports if information was provided, and just kind of broke it out and then gave the high and low And then an average of what was reported on the average column, for instance, in the fuel flowage, the average for the 11 airports is 0.0838. Only 9 airports reported having a flowage fee that they put in. So I just put that there's only 9 airports reporting. You know, and then what Newport is currently at. Also in the packet is the actual executive summary for you guys, and then we also printed out the statewide rates and charges survey. They get do more of an in-depth into this. I just went with the common denominators, but they also did look at like FBO charges for private individuals. They looked at insurance requirements that at other airports, a whole mess of information in here. So you guys asked for it, we found it, you got it.
Did a great job.
I think one of the things that at least comes out of the summary data is that we're pretty much in a ballpark. We're a little high in some areas, a little low in others compared to the average, but overall we're probably about where we should be.
No, and that's correct. And this is a document that we can use when we start looking at you know, doing fees and adjustment of that. And if for coming up, we can help, this document will help us so that we don't go way outside of the ballpark. I mean, obviously we have a couple of different areas that we, you know, have, for instance, you know, like the vegetation permit and stuff that other airports don't have, but you know, it's a good basis.
Okay, that's good. And that's kind of what we were looking for. And then some people always require information to compare. So it looks like we have that. And then next time when we do look at our rates, we'll be able to have information again to see how we're doing. Main thing is be within range, not too far out of it, so that people are willing to rent hangars so they're not, you know, price ourselves out of the market.
Right, and that was kind of a hard one, I guess we'll say, because for the hangar development for our area, for the 11 airports, there was a range. So some airports had a range, and I didn't look into why they had a range, but the 405 was the highest I saw, and the 167 was the lowest. But at one airport, they charged several different fees depending, I guess, on what size of hangar you had. So it was kind of hard. So I just took the highest cost and the lowest cost and then divided it out, basically. But at you know, a couple of the airports, you do get different rental rates for different sizes of hangars, which you could potentially look at and consider fee-wise later down the road. So,
yes, I was wondering about that. And I thanks for explaining that average, which is kind of a dangerous thing to look at. We want to know the highs and lows, because if you start throwing in places, maybe like Corvallis or Albany or whatever it is, that maybe not so much Albany, but you don't really have a town of 20, 30, 40,000 people. Where, you know, it's, they can get a little more money just by supply and demand.
Right. No, and I, it didn't say in the study, like, for instance, if Corvallis had 10 hangars that they charged 405 for, it was just one spot. They just had, here's the lowest, here's the medium, here's the highest. So what the availability is, I don't know.
Okay, well, I think we still have hopefully a good problem of people wanting to come here and move airplanes to this area. I guess with regard to that, you guys talked about Spencer and all that, but did you mention you had a meeting with the person that was interested in doing the T-hangers?
It was a emailing back and forth, and the meeting that we discussed with Spencer and David was about that individual and getting the 60-day.
No, I mean, actually, did you actually talk to the person that Macedo is that we're talking about, I guess, but the person who's interested, not our city staff?
Oh, yes. No, I've got email correspondence back and forth to him, and I put that in my operations report. He's waiting on one other item, so we can touch on that in a little bit.
Okay, I didn't know if it was coming up or not. Okay, so that covered that one there. And then the next meeting with the city administration, did we cover that?
Yeah, we kind of did. So for that, we'll just touch on it really quickly. I did have a meeting with David Allen, Spencer Niebel and myself to discuss the potential issue of how we are calling people on the waiting list when a T-hanger does become available. And then they did want me to provide a list of just the names and then the aircraft type that we had for those individuals, so I did that. And then also the parking permit that we had for that. So I can read on, let's see here. So with the long-term parking permits paid, I did do a check. We have 10 current people who have paid for a parking permit. When I went over to go check the long-term parking, seven vehicles were parked over there. So clearly there was a few not there. Each one had a current hangar tag. Each one of them has some type of airport business other than, of course, the one RV person. So I guess that would be something that the airport committee may want to discuss now or at a later meeting, is do we want to use that long-term parking specifically for airport people who, you know, bring their plane over, don't have a hangar here, but park a car here, maybe come over and just use their own car, or do we want to have that for other individuals? There's a lot of space over there. There's not a lot of demand for it, so it's one of those things, I guess.
What do you guys think?
Well, if there's not an excess of demand, then I would not rock the boat at this point and just continue what we're doing. If there get to be, you know, aeronautical uses or quasi-aeronautical uses of the space, in other words, people that have, you know, cars here that because they fly in and use them or this and that, then that's fine. Then maybe we have to put more restrictions. But that would be fairly difficult to do it in a non-discriminatory way. So I think we ought to encourage it for aeronautical use, but I don't think we should try to go down that road at this point.
Mark?
I agree with Ralph. It's not Portland, you know, it's not PDX. My concern is it gets trashy and junked up, and we've already got RVs and boats, and I think the boat has been permitted, right, Lance?
Yes, that, and he is a hangar tenant's boat while he's using a hangar. He was leasing a hangar there with one of the
biggest concern, spending a lot of time down there, is just derelict vehicles and it turning into a junkyard. That's our only biggest concern.
That's for now, right. It's working. And if it wasn't for Susan Reese Painter, we'd still have two junk cars over there.
It's good to have her on staff. Yes.
But it does look a lot better over there since those two vehicles have been removed. And actually, everybody is kind of nice in a nice line, and not like spread out, you know, like 20 foot here, 30 foot here. They're all kind of very evenly spaced and put together, so.
Okay, well, sometimes it's better not to create a problem that maybe isn't there yet, but my only concern is that one RV isn't airport related, and someone else could say, well, you know, I'm gonna park my RV there too, and you know, that's the old story, but I'm not gonna fight the committee on it, so if they wanna keep that, that's fine.
Well, and I think that if we start getting, you know, more demand, then we definitely, you know, we can go to saying, well, you know, we're not renewing these permits this year type thing, and then have it for aeronautical use eventually. But since there's no demand, I agree with Ralph, there's really no reason to kind of pursue it at this point.
Well, also, Jeff, remember, we still have hangars that don't have airplanes. So it's going to be difficult to enforce one and not the other. Well, I mean, how can you say you're not airport related, you got to move your vehicle, when we still have, you know, a few lease violations? Exactly. That's exactly my point. It doesn't make it wrong for one or right for the other.
That's not how the law works. But anyhow, okay. But I would, hopefully it won't get worse than that. It is becoming a derelict vehicle out there, unfortunately. Okay, what are we on here next? We have, I guess it's the operations report.
Okay. Operations report for August 1st to August 31st, 2021. Start off with AIP projects, or AIP 27 projects, for those of you listening at home. Michael's finished with the cleaning, camera, and grout sealing of the pipe sections. Michael also installed a few of the WECO seals for testing, so they will sit for this entire year. They'll come back and then check and see how those WECO seals held up. If that's the route to go, then the FAA will probably switch from the epoxy over to the WECO seals. But then again, that we'll see, I guess, in a year. So this is ongoing currently at this time. We will be working with the FAA to see if funding can be used for the WECO sealing to maintain the pipe's flexibility due to the live pipe situation. The Lake Creek mitigation project will need to be completed with the final punch list, which includes the planting of the willows and the permanent seeding, which they probably won't be able to get to till next season because they're out of that in-water work window for the permit. DEQ 1200Z permit worked with SHN to bring Newport Municipal Stormwater Pollution Control Plan into the new compliance guidelines set by DEQ that started this year. Airport staff did attend a training with Gwen Erickson to go over the new DEQ regulations and sampling requirements. One of the sampling requirements that they did change is we were able to get a waiver for this previous year. And normally to do that, you have to do 4 samples throughout the year. They've upped it to 5 now, 5 samples per sample point for you to be able to apply for the waiver, may or may not be granted. But
that's 5 samples per year.
So we have 5 areas that we have to test sample, and you have to test each one of those 5 times a year to get the base number to apply for a waiver. So you don't have to do the water sampling test, but you still have to do the monthly inspections of those areas. So, yeah. So the environmental assessment, AIP 29, working with ESA to host a meeting on September 28th, 2021. This will be a public meeting for landowners that may be impacted by the obstruction removal project. This is kind of interesting timing because today the city has decided that we're going to go back to the Zoom meetings. So having a public meeting at this time is going to be interesting, but on a kind of a bright note, I guess you could say, is with the obstruction removal, because we're now focusing on just the runway protection zones for all 4 of the runway ends. We only have 11 people that we need to send letters to. So we are going to send a other letter to the homeowners that we had at the first time that we kicked off the meeting, and just kind of tell them that we've kind of switched gears a little bit on the obstruction removal project. Not saying that we won't have to address that at some point, but the cost is astronomical to start that. So that's why we've decided to narrow our approach down to just the runway protection zones and get those cleared up, which the FAA is fine with. Oregon Department of Aviation attended the ODA board meeting. Agenda items included the director's update, finance update, core program update, and ASAP reporting to the legislature. I believe it's my understanding that they were able to continue. They lifted the sunset, so the core grants should still continue. Environmental assessment.
If I can add, Lance, that was in big part to the Oregon Pilots Association's effort of really pounding Salem hard with that project.
Yep. So the environmental assessment participated in the kickoff meeting with the ESA for the obstruction removal project. City Council attended City Council on August 2nd. Council approved the application for the airport rescue grant program in the amount of $59,000. So that money will be used to help supplementing airport staff, basically, so that money will not have to come out of the general fund. City Council on August 16th, 2021, the council approved the ground lease for site D1, D2, and D3 for Mr. Williams. FAA capital improvement projects received an email from Ben Mello about starting the 5-year outlook for the CIP projects for the airport. The 2022 remove obstructions for 2023 and 24 was the carryover years. 2025 is to install a new AWOS. 2026 is also a carryover year at this point. These are all subject to change depending on FAA funding and when they get all their projects lined up.
Can you clarify what a carryover year is?
Sure. So basically, they don't have any projects slated for that year, so we're just getting our NPE funds of 150, and those will just be carried over to help cost for future projects. Yep. Animal shelter, no further update at this time when I put this in, but I do know that Powell Vans has been out, did a survey, so they are putting together their report for Mr. Tokos on that.
Has there been a lease signed, a temporary lease signed for that?
No, there's been no lease, but there's an MOA with the Lincoln County for that area, and this is the next step. But to my knowledge, there hasn't been a lease. Do you know that this company has been out to do an assessment, I guess, of the property value? Airport staffing, Dave Zemanski was approved by city administration for the promotion to lead airport specialist, replacing John Matherly. He's got some big shoes to fill. Meeting with the city administration, attended a meeting with the city administration, David Spencer and myself, about the cars and the T-Hanger waiting list. Also participated in the Oregon Airport Managers Association board meeting this month. Runway lighting and wind cones, ordered Hurl replacement bulbs for 1634, worked with Dave to change out the fuel of lights, ordered new wind cones. They have come in. We're looking at trying to replace both of those before we go into the darker, rainier season, so they're nice and bright and vibrant instead of dull white like they are now. Potential heat T-hangers. I did receive an email from Mr. Mazzetta regarding building T-hangers. Mr. Mazzetta is waiting for the last estimate for the cost to construct the hangers. And then he was talking about doing the lease after he figured out that. But he has not contacted me yet, and I forget when the date was on that. I think it was like at the end of August 24th, I think. So the self-serve tank, Department of Agriculture did blue tag the self-serve meter for adjustment. Mascot had to come out to get it adjusted. Also heard back from Mascot and sent him pictures about the rusting tank. On Wednesday the 8th, we got the ladder rolling platform put out with a sign for the self-serve tank. I want to thank you to Jim Shaw and Paul Thompson for their effort in getting the platform. On August 25th, 2021, sent out a letter to the hangar tenants addressing the land lease to this date. I've only heard from a handful of tenants and have attached a copy of the letter to the packet for you to see what letter went out. Pollinator.
You said some of the tenants have responded. What have they said?
Just ask if they were in compliance. The tenants that have responded have working aircraft in their hangar.
Have what?
Working aircraft in their hangar. Yeah. So haven't heard from anybody else yet, though. So we'll probably be discussing this again with another letter, potentially. The pollinator planting along Highway 101, received an email from Maxine Centella that ODOT has approved the planting plan for the right-of-way at the airport entrance. I have attached information in the operations report as well for the drawing of that. So right on the ODOT right-of-way, as you're turning onto 84th, they're doing pollinator planter gardens all along 101, and this is going to be one of those areas right where the nice Welcome to Newport sign is right before that, and that, so they're going to be beautifying the airport, I guess. So
what are they going to plant? Scotch broom?
Yeah, right. No, it's plants for local pollinators, local plants that will help bees and other pollinators and stuff. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, very, very cool. So moving through the report, just a report on the aircraft quantity and fuel consumption for the month of August. We saw 693 total aircraft operations. We did see a total of 10,881 gallons of fuel pumped, which is remarkable. I can't tell you the last time I have seen a 10,000 plus back-to-back month. So, yeah, hopefully we'll have more of them, which puts us currently on the year at 21,577 gallons pumped. For jet fuel, that we did 14,849. For avgas, it was 6,728, which is almost half of 2 years ago, just in the short time we've been operating this year. So how we ended up with rental cars, we did 72 rental cars in August, and we had 9 today, which was one of the reasons why I was late. We had Noah's Twin Otter come in, get 350 gallons, so it's just AJ and I. When the Twin Otter came in, we had 3 rental cars show up to be rented, so I stuck around to help AJ get those cars rented out. I appreciate you guys hanging out and waiting for me. I do apologize again for being late, but I didn't want to leave the new guy with a whole lobby full of people. So, but yeah, so we definitely did see quite the uptick for August, 72. So it looks like we're going to start getting back to the 2019 numbers, pre-COVID numbers, hopefully shortly. Courtesy cars loaned out 47 for the month of August. That puts us up to 303 for the calendar year starting in January. Just circling back to rental cars, since January, we've done 378 rental cars on the year. The calendar year, we put, I did add into the packet the 65 mile catchment area for Jet A pricing for the committee to review, along with 100 low lead gas for the 55 mile catchment area. And then I've had some extraordinary, we've had a huge amount of jets in, so that's kind of where we're at. Added some pictures, just literally like jet after jet. And I think Dave said we were up to 170, which puts us way over what we did the previous year in just jet traffic. So don't know what's generating the jet traffic other than maybe potentially the COVID. Well, the Wave Energy Research Facility is soon to be open as well. So I don't know if these are people associated with that facility or not, but definitely have had an uptick in the jet traffic, which is great news for us. Did see a really cool, it was a Diamond 40 NG come in, and that's one of the diesel diamonds, which is really cool to see. Got a picture of Noah's Twin Otter, and this is the second time today that they've been back for fueling. They're doing some flight programming, or they're doing some flights back and forth for the potential north side, looking at another Wave Energy development site over there. So, and then of course the pollinator planting thing, and that brings us up to date for the airport operations report.
Thank you, Lance. That was a good report. So it's nice to see improved usage of gas and rental cars. And I just had one question. Are we still getting a decent supply of courtesy cars from our police department or wherever?
I haven't received any because I think they had those Dodge Chargers and then they switched over to the Ford. Apparently people really want to pay big money for those old Dodge Chargers, and so the police department was making money on that instead of giving them to me for the courtesy, which I understand. So our two crew cars currently are the Ford Crown Vicks. They seem to be running efficiently at this moment in time. Haven't heard any issues with them yet from the
We only have 2 then. Could you use 3?
Just the 2. Some days, yeah, could use 3. But people, we have 1 Uber driver here in Newport, in case anybody didn't know. Today we had a couple fly in, well, actually a group of people fly in that wanted to go down, but the last crew car was out. So they actually contacted the Uber guy. The Uber guy came up to the airport, picked them up, took them where they needed to go. And then there's also the 2 cab companies. So we are generating some business for the Uber driver and the cab companies when the crew cars aren't available. So that's good. I haven't had anybody just say, well, we're not, you know, they've contacted the other people, or they've just ended up waiting for one of the crew cars to come back. So
I think it's important so that people know, as an example, I had a person I knew that finally got a chance to fly into Newport for the Saturday barbecue time. He was surprised that there weren't a lot of people there because it was perfect day. But his next stop was going to be Glen Eden Beach if it wasn't going to be too windy to go to the beach. And we on our back burner, we've got an idea of, could we ever make a plan to get to our beach, you know, through some method, so they wouldn't want to fly to Glen Eden, they'd come here. Or better yet, have the trail all the way from the airport to South Beach. And then, you know, you can use either these mountain bikes or something to get through there. I think that maybe we need to also review our goals. There'll be something coming up, but that's something I think should be on there.
So goal setting should be coming up, and I think the trail is going to be addressed in the Parks Master Plan. I'll have to double check. No, wasn't?
Yeah, that was the sad part. They couldn't buy a piece of property that would connect Mike Miller Trail to Stoker Road or get through there because, we have to wait for the Parks Master Plan. The Parks Master Plan came and went and said, oh, no, that's a transportation system plan. Transportation system plan is still kind of going on a little bit, and no one's really paying attention to it. I've notified the city council people. They still don't know even what I'm talking about yet. Nobody goes out and looks at the thing, I guess. But we're still in dire need of a 60-foot right-of-way to connect all of this potential up. And I'd be willing to find sponsors to buy the land, but again, to be able to get things going in the city is difficult, unfortunately. So anyhow, I guess that not my little grief, but does someone else say you had any other things on reports on his report here?
I was just wondering if there needs to be a discussion about the fact that we are currently about 23 cents a gallon less on jet fuel than the state average, or at least the airports that we're averaging.
You want to probably be competitive, but you don't want to put money over the table too. You go to, for example, jets that have been coming in. I just flew down Orange County, and the jets are loaded all over the tarmac. I mean, evidently the people have money. That's how they're getting around. They don't want to fly commercial. Hopefully that's what's happening here. But with that water,
the report itself is different than the local catchment area that we use. We want to stay within our local catchment area for getting jet fuel. In the report, those 11 different airports, some of them are outside of our catchment area for pricing our fuel, was what we had discussed. I mean, we can adjust the Jet A prices and fuel prices, that's fine, but we still have to stay within the fuel policy that we agreed upon.
What percentage of the jets arriving at Newport take fuel, roughly?
I would say probably about 60% of them.
So it's always a good thing. A jet takes more than 20 gallons generally, so it's compared to an airplane. I always want to make the jet guys real happy or feel obligated to buy fuel here. You go out and talk with them, or at least say hello. They kind of feel, maybe I should buy something. But if they're, it's always good to promote your fuel sales. Anything else?
That's what a discussion is. I just, noticed it was 23 cents less than the average in our catchment area, and I just want to know if we needed to have a discussion and review that current price. It's done.
I think he clarified it wasn't 23 cents in our catchment area. Was it within, where'd you find that difference?
Well, above it, the average is 438.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about having us come up to the 438 average.
Well, I didn't make a recommendation. I just wanted to know if we needed to have a discussion.
So
that our full service jet is 415 and the average in our catchment area is 438.
That's correct. Currently, though, our Jet A with Prist is at 440. So I don't know if the 438 is Jet A with additive or just straight Jet A. I normally just list our straight Jet A.
Well, then if that's true, then we need to make that adjustment in your fuel policy to compare apples to apples.
Okay. Separate the Prist out, you're saying, Mark?
No, what I'm saying is in Lance's catchment area of where he uses the fuel average, it's a great policy. We don't know if that's Prist or, you know, Prist is jet fuel with additive or if it's straight jet fuel. And what you're saying is our jet fuel is always sold with Prist.
No, so the 415 is the jet fuel regular, no Prist, negative Prist. And then the 440 is jet fuel with Prist. I put down the cheaper of the two to make it more enticing for people to come over.
Yeah, and then also, you know, it's, again, an average. If you want to compare highs and lows, sometimes this isn't what you always want to do. You want to take the mean, perhaps, but not maybe the average. Our policy is to be within a certain percentage, and I'm guessing we're within that, but if not, we need to, you know, make that adjustment.
Well, and the other thing is when I do this report, Mark, these are the prices from the page. It doesn't say with or without Prist or anything like that. So I don't know if I would have to call and find out or if there's a better fuel program out there for me to look at, because I'm using AirNav right now.
No, and AirNav doesn't separate it out. So it's fine, Lance. I just want to know if we needed a discussion, look at that fuel price, and it's all good.
Okay, thank you. Next, any other airport committee comments? I want to bring up something, too, that was brought up at the 2040 committee, and then Spencer's bringing it up, that the new policy for goal information or goal setting is going to be sooner than it had been in the past. They want to start on it like almost in November, December. Staff reports to you guys, and also so that when it comes around, they would have the information not so late in the budgeting process, and then also have potentially an ongoing goal, so that we have 1 year goals, but we would know where we are in several goals with this new setup. But it's brand new, so I don't know if you've had a chance to be involved with that yet. Okay, I'm hearing a no. So if we could, you guys want to look. What are we into? This is September, so you got October, November, December. There aren't very many of these goals here, but pursue airline service. I guess that's a kind of an ongoing thing, pursuing it. The next is explore commercial industrial development, which is we actually have accomplished pretty much all we can do until we develop. How is that coming, by the way? You were going to inquire about getting potential or have the guys look at what might be able to be leased out at the other end of the airport.
So I have reached out with Precision Approach Engineering and did bring that question up to them. I'm just waiting for our engineer to send me back the schematics, I guess you could say. I do have some actually concern to bring up. Maybe I'll just ask it now. Does the committee want to separate jet traffic from piston-driven traffic? And what I mean by that is on the north end off of taxiway Alpha, do we want to keep, you know, those jets that have the up on that end for parking and turning and all that other stuff for building hangars? Because I did have just some concern brought up by tenants having jets, you know, go taxi in and around like the T hangars currently, or smaller jets and stuff like that. They were just concerned about jet blast, I guess you could say, on the smaller GA piston aircraft.
Wow, that sounds like a concern that I haven't heard. I mean, small jets don't blast that much, actually, unless they're really flooring it. But I think I would hate to get in the midst of all that personally, you know, from an airport committee standpoint. I think if you were to say that the the north end of the runway area we're going to develop, we might want to have executive hangars and maybe have jets, you know, point them towards that direction and not intermixed with T hangars and whatnot. But jets are a little bigger than what a T hangar can hold. So I don't, so far, I don't, can't imagine too many jets running around up in that area.
No, no, there's no jets, but we did have the company that did buy the one executive hangar there that's on the end of the T hangars. Unfortunately, their jet was too large to go into that area. He would have had to move light poles and redesign all sorts of other stuff. But that was a concern brought up by one of the tenants, was having a jet that size go through that area. And as you know, that's not what that area was designed for that size of aircraft. It was designed for a smaller aircraft. But you know, jets are becoming smaller and smaller, like with the Cirrus Vision. It could easily go up in that area. Just wanted to get the committee's input on that.
Well, I'll give you a little input that I would think of. I think if you, this new area, since all of the areas are now leased, and that probably isn't going to be used for jets, but certainly a new area, we ought to consider that and maybe make it so it's large enough for jets and wingspan-wise, too.
I think it's hard to separate out at this stage of the game, you know, with the data we have and the lack of preliminary drawings and all that, to say piston versus jet or turbine versus recip, et cetera. But certainly we ought to keep in mind allotting land such that anything up to a full size, you know, the larger jets could in fact obtain access and build hangars there.
Right. I think as it's currently designed, it's probably the, it's really tight for any larger aircraft, but the new area would most likely allow for something larger, even a Twin Otter for that matter, you know, something along those lines.
That'd be, I know, awesome that, if Noah built their hangar.
You know, the, what is it, Life Flight, the guy loved to have a hangar, you know, for maintenance for their otters at Life Flight. So anyhow, that would be the other, that would be expansion of airport property. The water and sewer services, we have the water, in theory, solved. Explore possibility of constructing T hangars. I guess we're in line with that. It says to install solar panels. That'd be something that we're, it would take a little bit of somebody to come out and look at first. But I think we, you guys maybe start considering what might we look at for additional goals coming up the next 2 months.
Well, I was just going to make a suggestion that now with the offshore energy project going on, it might be a good time to reopen the door for regional flight service to Portland, Salem, Eugene. This is what the, this is what our community wants from our airport.
Absolutely. I just had lunch with the director of the Marine Mammal Institute. I think it's on.
Oh, it's red.
Yeah, it's red. It's red. Yeah, I just had lunch today with the director of the Marine Mammal Institute, and she was talking about the wave energy need and the Marine Mammal, you know, the Marine Studies building and the students coming in and the real need for air service. So I would agree. Let's do whatever we can to start this up again.
So maybe we would have, since there's, it's a generalized goal, pursue commercial, I think we ought to break that apart maybe and take into steps that are potentially one-year goals, and because that's an overarching goal, but it isn't really what would I do next in kind of a situation. So that, I think maybe we could look at that in the next couple of meetings and then add whatever else you might think of. And most of the goals were set up for potential earmarks for budget related issues, and it put potentially, if that were the case, maybe for commercial usage we might have to hire somebody to assist that, although we do have a lot of data. Anything else, you guys? Okay, meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Oh, yeah, right. Me too, Lance.
I have an airplane.
Let me know if you want to sign my petition.
I'd love to come down here, but I wasn't even
I'm not community, but I will.
Okay. Do you want to sign it now, or do you want to just think about it some more?
I'm gonna get my wife's counsel.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, you really want to know?
Yes. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, well, I won't be at Saturday Market on Saturday. I have a colleague who's doing it, because I'm doing one of the Bill and Joanne Barton hikes at Yacona.
Oh, good for you.
But the 25th, I should be there. In fact, Debbie and her son are gonna be there too at the market, yeah.
Right.
So anyway, thank you for your thoughts and
You're welcome.
Consider.
You're welcome, Susan.
See you guys.
And then I'll talk with actually email me what days, and it doesn't have to be, it's just having this radio show
okay
recorded. So
okay. So you want to just have me send you, is it morning or afternoon, or does it? After 10, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know if that means like fuckers just said, oh yeah, anytime after 10, go down there.
No, I like to do my 2 mile walk on the beach first thing in the morning and then get cleaned up and do the rest of my stuff. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so after 10, I think they have like the, you know, the.
Okay, sounds good. I'll do that.
Excellent.
All righty. See you later.
See you, Susan. Have a great day.
You too.
See you.
Goodbye. If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator. If you'd like to make a